A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Now, Tony McGinley, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Jerry.
Thanks for joining us again this week. If you've any questions or queries, get them into us now on any of our numbers. We have a comment that's coming here this morning, Tony. It says, hi, Tony, I have a small problem. I'm in my late 60s. I'm always invited to family occasions. Hardly a month goes by without something on. Birthdays, weddings, engagements, etc., etc. I've always been a generous giver. But I think now enough is enough. I've no more interest in going to these things. I'm a non-drinker and no interest. Could I not just refuse these invites? It's all a money-grabbing racket. Love the show as always.
I'd be inclined up to a certain point to agree with that point of view. Yeah. When I was young, there'd be maybe one or two occasions in a year. Maybe that would be, you know, something that you'd have to attend. But now everybody's wedding, first cousins, 20 first cousins, and so on. And I, at my age, I am 77 now, and I really don't enjoy going to these sort of occasions. And I have no problem saying, no, I won't, but if I feel like giving something, I will send a check or whatever. It's up to yourself, really.
Is it a time of life thing, Tony? Is it a time of life thing, or is it a, like, this aspect for this listener, they're not into drinking, they're a non-drinker, they don't go out for the night, that they're just saying, look, I've had enough of this, these long events that cost money sometimes, or yeah, oftentimes?
It's not necessarily money, as you say, it's a time of life. I mean, when I was younger, I was much more interested in social occasions. But right now, I am very careful about who I'm going to spend 5 or 6 hours or more with. And if it's a close wedding, yes. If it's fairly close to you, or if it's a funeral or whatever, you do really have to go to those things. But I mean, if it's further out or a little more distant in the family or whatever, you have every right to say you're not able to go. And it's down to you being able to take the flak. You will get a certain amount of flak for it. Well, of course you will. But, you know, to be able to say, no, I really don't feel up to going to that now. And, you know, that can end it. But it's society has, I mean, weddings, as I said, were... Weddings, funerals, and one or two other occasions, maybe a baptism or something like that, might have been family occasions. They were small occasions. And they would be back either to the local pub for a pint or back to the house for a cup of tea and a sandwich. And nowadays, I've heard of weddings going into 40,000 plus.
And 3 and 4 day events, Tony.
Ridiculous. Absolutely, utterly ridiculous. It's a bit like, you know, building a mansion over your grave. You know, you want a marker on your grave, but you don't want a three-story building on it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's proportionality. It's having some idea of what's right and proper.
Yeah.
Because if everybody had that in the world, the food stocks of the world would be dispersed or whatever. You know, it's imbalance, and that's what I would have against that sort of, you know.
Would there be a question, Tony, for this person saying, look, I've no more interest, I'm a non-drinker, can I not just refuse these invites? If they refuse everything, would they be retreating too much from social life? Could they pick and choose, perhaps, maybe? Would that be an idea?
Oh, yeah, I think if you're refusing every occasion, then there is something wrong with you. I mean, you could, I say, he mentioned practically monthly there's an occasion. And definitely, if I go to 2 in a year, that's as much. And I think you need to think about it and, you know, stiffen up and say, no, I'm not going to that. I think if there was more like you, you know, who had some sort of proportionality about celebrations of that nature.
Yeah. And just because you're invited doesn't mean you have to go. You can say no every once in a while.
Absolutely. The other thing that I've come across is people, instead of having, you know, a £20,000 occasion, they'll send 18 or so thousand to a charity and have a small gathering. And I think that's a much, much nicer way of spending money. Mm. But, I mean, that's my opinion. And yeah, a lot of people would say, don't be ridiculous. But, you know, I think the balance, as I say, in society has gone too far over the other way.
Yeah.
And I would agree, you know, to bring it back, you know, to one or two occasions in a year is more than enough.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be my feeling.
Okay, interesting one. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. Tony, a listener, gets in touch. We're married for over 10 years. My husband is a good man. We've never had much money, and I started saving a few bits here and there from the housekeeping, etc. I've bought myself several nice and fairly expensive things. The problem is my husband's become aware of my spending and now does not trust me anymore. The mistrust has built up and it's causing a barrier between us. What can I do about this?
Well, what you have done wrong is not tell him what you were doing. Mm. So that would get his suspicions going. So if somebody is, you know, pinching a little bit from the household every week for, you know, half a year or whatever to build up enough to buy a nice outfit or whatever, and you don't tell your husband what you're doing, that definitely, that would annoy me. If Val was doing that to me, I'd be annoyed. But if she said, look, I'm going to try and take, you know, a couple of quid each week for a few weeks and build up a bit of money, that would not be a problem. So, but when trust breaks down like that, that's the whole matter of we trusting each other. And if you don't absolutely trust your partner, that's a problem in marriage. It is a very big problem in marriage. So basically, you know, it's how can you build back up trust in that situation? And I think the first thing that has to happen is you have to sit down and have a gentle, quiet, and long talk about, you know,
the money, how you handle it, how you spend it, and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, if it's understood, if both parties understand something, that's as good as putting a signature on the bottom of a contract. And I think this built up by him not understanding where the money is coming from, that she's pinching money from the household and then getting less of a lunch as a result of it, and it's going into, you know, something or other she bought. And it wouldn't be that way. That and there's no need for it to be that way if it was explained. The other thing, of course, is I think in a marriage, and I'm always saying this, I've said it several times on air, it's very important that both partners have their own personal accounts, and that each week or each month there's the same amount goes into each of those two savings account, and then it's up to each one of them to do what they want with it. Now, Val and myself did that in our early years. We don't do it now. Mm. But it's a very useful way of managing money, and there'd be no suspicion,
yeah,
about who's
you have yours, they have theirs, you're free to do or save or not save or spend within the limits,
yeah,
of what you have.
Household money totally separate.
Yeah.
There's whatever, if it's only a fiver a week, there's a fiver a week goes into both their accounts.
Yeah. You're saving a lot of arguments if you go down that road.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, as you said, preventing problems. It's better to prevent a fire than to try and put it out.
Yeah, and that could save this situation here. If that agreement comes up and the mistrust can be taken away, and they say, well, how do you want to manage this? That's a suggestion for this listener, maybe to go that road and have that conversation, and therefore getting over the problem they have now, the barrier that's built up between them.
Well, they have to get the trust back. I mean, if trust has broken down, it's very, very important that's built back. And I would say, like, if I was speaking to him, I'd say, look, she's not robbing money. She was just saving a bit here and there. What she didn't do was explain what she was doing. And if that can be, as it were, got across, properly.
Yeah.
It could end the suspicion then.
Tony, couples are better off at small weddings to hold on to their money for their homes, says a Kerry listener who's preaching from the same hymn sheet as you.
100%
That's
agree.
For sure. For Tony. Listen, we're out of time. Thanks so much. One listener finally said there must be a problem there. How come she felt she could not ask him to take some money to buy a little item for herself, says a Kerry listener. Well, again, I suppose, Tony, get all of that out in the open in this conversation and you move past all of that.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Tony, thanks a million.